Welcome to the deep dive. I want you to start by thinking about the operating systems running in the background of your own mind,
Right.
because we navigate our daily lives relying on this very specific set of cognitive software, and we generally just assume that everyone else out there is running a version of that exact same system.
Which is, a pretty massive assumption when you really break it down.
Exactly. So what if the very traits that society often labels as problematic or strictly as disabilities are actually evidence of an entirely different, highly specialized operating system?
Yeah.
We might actually be mistakenly judging a supercomputer for not being a standard desktop PC.
That is a great way to frame it, because it really requires a profound shift in perspective to look past the clinical deficits that we're usually trained to see. Rather than focusing on what this particular cognitive system struggles to do, we need to examine what it does with just unparalleled efficiency.
Okay, let's unpack this. The mission of today's deep dive is to completely reevaluate our understanding of autism through that exact lens. We're pulling our insights today from an article published by AngelSense. It's titled Top 10 Autism Traits Which Get Overlooked.
But we aren't just stopping at the clinical summaries provided by the author, right?
No, not at all. We are analyzing the incredibly rich, really diverse comment section attached to that article.
Yes.
We are talking about the raw, real-world experiences shared by parents, grandparents, and autistic adults themselves.
And those comments, they really function as a crucial reality check for you as you read through it.
Totally.
The article provides this structured framework of 10 overlooked traits, but the lived experiences shared by the community, they reveal nuances and contradictions and entirely new dimensions that the clinical literature just frequently misses.
So we need to start with the foundational mechanics of the autistic brain. The source material emphasizes that these individuals process data differently, but I think we need to look at what that actually means on a neurological level.
Well, at its core, we are analyzing a brain that is functioning as a high-powered pattern recognition engine.
Pattern recognition engine.
Yes, exactly. Atypical brain development in autism leads to a distinct method of parsing data. So the neurotypical brain is designed to filter out massive amounts of environmental data,
Like background noise.
right, as background noise, to conserve energy. But the autistic brain, conversely, absorbs and categorizes a much higher percentage of that data.
Wow.
This cognitive architecture makes these individuals incredibly adept at recognizing underlying patterns, sequences, and just highly granular details.
And the statistics on that processing power are actually really striking. The source highlights a study showing that people with autism can be up to 40% faster at problem-solving and visual processing tasks compared to their neurotypical peers.
40%?
40%, that is not some marginal difference. That is a massive cognitive advantage when applied to the right systems.
Yeah, when you have a brain tuned for intense visual thinking and unfiltered data absorption, tasks that require systematic logic become areas of potential mastery. So fields heavily reliant on pattern recognition, things like mathematics, music theory, computer programming, they often align perfectly with this neurocognitive setup.
Which brings us to our first major debate from the sources, and this specifically regarding math.
Ah, yes, the
Where are
math
you?
debate.
Right. So the article explicitly lists exceptional math skills and sophisticated problem solving as trait number four. It claims that high-functioning children with autism far outperform their peers on standardized math tests.
Relying on unique problem-solving strategies rather than just rote memorization.
Right. However, the comments section presents a much more complicated reality.
What's fascinating here is that the community feedback reveals a distinct split. It perfectly illustrates the sheer variance of the spectrum. You see comments from parents like Kathy and Marilyn, who bluntly state that their autistic children are awful at math.
Yeah, just totally awful.
And then you have another commenter, Sherry Lee, who pointed out her son excelled at math until his school introduced Common Core methodology.
Oh, wow.
And at that point, he just began failing.
That Common Core detail is so crucial for you to understand because standardized testing and rigid curriculums demand that you quote unquote show your work in a very specific linear sequence.
Right.
For a brain that doesn't process information linearly, that requirement can totally short circuit their natural abilities. But look at the opposite end of the spectrum in these comments. We have an autistic individual named Mike who shared a story about his first year calculus exam.
This story is amazing.
It really is. It was a rigorous 3.5 hour test.
3.5 hours.
Yes. Mike finished the entire exam in 45 minutes. He scored a perfect 100%.
Incredible.
And he noted that he only sat there for an extra 15 minutes out of politeness so he wouldn't disrupt the room by leaving too early.
That is just, Mike's experience highlights the sheer velocity of that 40% processing advantage we talked about.
Yeah.
And we see a similar dynamic in a story shared by a mother named Dina.
Oh, I loved Dina's comment.
She genuinely believed her son was terrible at math throughout his entire childhood. It wasn't until he reached adulthood and underwent specialized retesting that they uncovered the truth.
Which was?
He was solving complex equations so rapidly in his head that he was entirely skipping the intermediate steps.
He was just bypassing them entirely.
Exactly. He appeared to be struggling only because he refused to follow the neurotypical breadcrumb trail the teachers required. He actually recently finished his accounting degree and is thriving.
It really forces you to question how much of our standard intelligence testing is actually just testing for methodological conformity rather than raw cognitive power.
Absolutely.
And this distinct processing extends far beyond equations on a page. It governs how they physically perceive the world. So let's look at trait number one, exceptional long-term memory.
The capacity for rote learning and granular recall here can be truly staggering. The article notes a common paradox.
What's that?
Well, while an autistic individual might struggle with short-term working memory, their ability to recall events or data or sensory inputs from years ago with perfect fidelity is largely unmatched.
The comments section provides some striking granular detail on how this actually looks in real life. A mother named Mary shared that her 5-year-old son heard the Rolling Stones Aftermath CD one single time.
Just once.
Just once. And following that single exposure, he had mapped the entire album in his head.
Wow.
He would casually tell her he wanted to listen to Aftermath number 11, perfectly correlating the track number to the specific song.
That's amazing.
And then there's another parent, Sharon. She has a 5-year-old who remembers falling in the snow with his father, recalling the event step by step from when he was barely 1 year old.
See, memory retention from that age is practically non-existent in typical childhood development.
Yeah, no one remembers being one.
Right. And this deepens when we look at traits 2 and 10 from the source material, which focus on excelling at auditory and visual tasks, alongside enhanced motion perception.
Yeah.
Because they lack the aggressive sensory filtering mechanisms most of us have, they are taking in a much higher fidelity recording of reality.
Oh.
The article cites a study finding autistic individuals perceive simple movements twice as fast as non-autistic individuals.
Seeing the world at twice the frame rate explains so much about sensory overload.
It really does.
And you see this high-definition processing in the auditory realm as well. An autistic adult named Emma commented that if you blindfold her and play a single musical note, she can instantly identify the note letter, the exact octave, and the specific instrument being played.
Incredible.
The only slight exception for her being distinguishing a violin from a viola.
That level of sensory acuity is the direct byproduct of their distinct neurological wiring. They process the raw data of their environment with incredible precision. But the application of that data is where our traditional metrics really fail them.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The article lists creative thinking as trait number 3. Now, if you rely on outdated stereotypes, you might assume autism is strictly about routines, repetition, and rigidity.
Right, that's the cliche.
So how does that align with creativity? The source brings up a well-known psychological assessment involving a brick and a paperclip.
Yeah, it's as a standard assessment for divergent thinking. The researchers asked participants to generate as many non-obvious uses for a brick and a paperclip as possible.
And how do people normally do?
Well, the neurotypical participants usually follow a predictable arc. They start by listing all the standard, structurally obvious uses and slowly work their way towards slightly more creative ideas, ultimately generating a high volume of acceptable answers.
But the autistic participants in the study approached the prompt completely differently.
Very differently.
They did not generate a high volume of total uses. Instead, they completely bypassed the obvious standard answers and immediately provided the most highly innovative, unconventional solutions imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
They don't waste cognitive energy thinking slightly outside the box. They process the object as if the box never existed.
Because they aren't bound by the social and contextual assumptions that neurotypical people unconsciously apply to everyday objects, they arrive at conclusions the rest of us systematically filter out.
Right.
And this inherent lack of social conditioning is vital to understanding the neurodivergent profile, particularly when it comes to their integrity.
So let's look at traits 7 and 8, which describe autistic individuals as being less deceptive and generally non-judgmental. The article characterizes this as viewing the world through a literal lens.
Literal lens.
Yeah. They tend to take information, situations, and people entirely at face value.
To understand the significance of that literal lens, you have to look at how the rest of us operate. For neurotypical individuals, lie-telling is a deeply ingrained social reflex.
Definitely.
We utilize minor deceptions constantly to avoid conflict, navigate office politics, or just spare someone's feelings. It is a complex social lubricant. For many autistic individuals, deliberate deception is not intuitive. Furthermore, when they do attempt a white lie, research suggests they often lack the cognitive bandwidth to maintain it.
Really?
Yeah, they don't naturally construct the subsequent web of supporting lies required to keep a deception functional.
Just think about how many tiny, polite lies you've told just today to avoid making things awkward. For an autistic brain, prioritizing that kind of social manipulation over objective truth just doesn't compute.
No, it's a...
And because they perceive the world literally, without imposing layers of social expectation over it, it frequently results in a very pure, raw form of empathy.
Yes.
Which completely shatters the old clinical stereotype that autistic people lack empathy.
The clinical misunderstanding there stems from confusing a lack of traditional social signaling with a lack of internal feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because they perceive reality literally, their response to suffering is often far more direct.
They don't rationalize it away.
Exactly. They don't rationalize it away with social context.
A commenter named Liz Hamer provided a perfect example of this. Her 20-year-old autistic son is so intensely devoted to reducing suffering in the world that he volunteers at a nursing home, packs meals for starving children, and routinely donates blood.
Which is wonderful on its own.
But the remarkable part of that last detail is that he has a severe phobia of needles.
Oh, wow.
But his literal unfiltered drive to help simply overrides his own intense fear.
That represents a profound translation of empathy into action. However, living with that level of extreme honesty is a massive vulnerability in a society built on subtle social maneuvering.
That's true.
Another commenter, an autistic adult named Chrissy, explained that she is practically incapable of being devious or telling a lie.
Yeah, I read her comment.
She admits that this literal inability to engage in social deception complicates her life immensely. It leaves her feeling alienated because people find her bluntness off-putting.
It is a heavy social tax they are forced to pay.
Yeah.
Navigating a world governed by unwritten, illogical social rules is exhausting.
Extremely exhausting.
But before we examine how this dynamic plays out in the professional world, it's worth noting a really interesting discussion happening right in the comments of this article about language.
This is an important point.
User TH pointed out that the community is actually quite divided on how they prefer to be addressed.
Right. It centers on the distinction between identity-first language and person-first language.
TH noted that many individuals strongly advocate for identity-first language, meaning you say an autistic person. Mm. They argue that autism is an intrinsic, inseparable part of who they are, much like being left-handed.
Yes.
Conversely, others advocate for person-first language, like a person with autism, prioritizing their humanity over their diagnosis. We are bringing this up simply to reflect the diverse internal viewpoints of the community, as both preferences are heavily utilized by the people sharing their stories in our source material.
And we are not taking a stance either way.
Mm-hmm.
Just reporting what the sources show, it underscores that we are discussing a demographic of highly distinct individuals, not a monolith. And as these individuals transition into adulthood, those specific traits we have been analyzing, the pattern recognition, the uncompromising honesty, the intense focus, they create an incredibly potent profile in the modern workplace.
The article covers this in traits 5, 6, and 9. It highlights how people on the spectrum tend to be exceptionally reliable, deeply detail-oriented, and highly comfortable with repetitive tasks.
They thrive on establishing routines.
Yeah, they exhibit incredibly low absenteeism, and they are unfailingly punctual.
But historically, the traditional corporate hiring process has been deeply hostile to neurodivergent talent. Modern interviews are essentially tests of social charisma, assessing eye contact, small talk, and the ability to navigate subtle interpersonal dynamics.
Right.
But major corporations are finally recognizing that filtering for sociability often means filtering out immense technical competence.
The source notes that massive tech conglomerates like Microsoft, HP, and SAP are actively overhauling their hiring pipelines to recruit autistic individuals.
It's a huge shift.
Anke Wittenberg, SAP's head of diversity, is quoted explaining their specific strategy. They actively recruit autistic talent for software testing and quality assurance roles.
And why is that?
Because these individuals can sustain unbroken concentration on repetitive data streams far longer than typical employees, and they spot minute errors with significantly higher accuracy.
To a neurotypical software tester, a bug is a tedious error you have to hunt for. But to an artistic tester utilizing that 40% faster visual processing we discussed, a bug is a glaring disruption in a systemic pattern.
It practically leaps off the screen.
Exactly. They aren't hiring them out of charity. They are hiring them for a competitive advantage.
And that advantage isn't limited to the tech sector. One of the most grounded stories from the comments comes from a user named Jess. She worked alongside a non-verbal woman with severe autism who historically struggled with aggressive behaviors.
Right.
They managed to secure her a short daily shift at a local pizza restaurant. Her sole responsibility was folding takeout pizza boxes and attaching promotional flyers.
A role requiring purely tactile, highly repetitive motion.
Yes. And Jess noted that this woman's efficiency was staggering. Her hands moved with a mechanical blur. Jess actually tried to race her for fun to see who could fold a stack of boxes faster.
How did that go?
She admitted it was no contest whatsoever. The autistic woman defeated her every single time with unbeatable speed.
Wow.
When you place this cognitive operating system into an environment that perfectly aligns with its processing strengths, the output completely defies standard expectations of unskilled labor.
It's remarkable. But while the output is remarkable, we must view this corporate integration with a degree of caution.
Why is that?
Well, the exact same traits that make them exceptional employees, intense loyalty, hyper-focus, and a literal interpretation of rules, make them highly susceptible to workplace exploitation.
Oh, that makes sense. An autistic man named Josh Mason left a very clear warning about this in the comments. He pointed out that this celebrated workplace loyalty is easily weaponized by bad management. He shared that his previous job pushed his workload so far past reasonable limits that he only stayed out of strict financial necessity, suffering severe burnout in the process.
Because autistic employees often struggle with the social nuances of confrontation and they take directives literally, they can be easily overworked by employers who take advantage of their reluctance to push back.
Integrating neurodivergent talent requires a fundamental shift in management philosophy. You cannot simply drop them into a neurotypical environment and extract value.
No. It requires tailored support structures to protect them from burnout.
Right.
And that reality of requiring specific tailored support brings us to the broader context of caregiving, which begins long before they ever enter the workforce.
We really have to acknowledge the context of why this article was published. The publisher is AngelSense, a company that develops AI-based assistive technology and GPS trackers. They exist because existing right alongside these incredible cognitive advantages are very real, very terrifying safety vulnerabilities that families must navigate daily.
The primary safety concern is elopement, commonly known as wandering. For an autistic individual, particularly a child who is nonverbal or lacks an innate awareness of environmental danger, the world is a minefield of potential sensory overload.
Just a minefield.
A sudden loud noise or a flashing light can trigger an overwhelming flight response. Because of their intense focus and speed, they can vanish from a safe environment in a matter of seconds.
If you read the comments from the caregivers, the persistent hum of terror is palpable. A grandmother named Mary Wetch shared her reality.
Her comment was heartbreaking.
It was. She is paralyzed by the fear of taking her 5-year-old grandson out in public alone. He loves to run and hide inside the dense clothing racks at department stores, or he will simply sprint down the aisles.
Yeah.
Her greatest ongoing fear is that he will wander out of her daughter's apartment in the middle of the night, knowing her daughter is a heavy sleeper.
Mary's comment also exposes the hidden financial barrier these families face.
Yeah.
She desperately wants her daughter to utilize a GPS tracker, but her daughter views the subscription as just another monthly bill she cannot absorb.
Yeah.
It grounds this entire discussion in a harsh reality. Behind the extraordinary math skills and perfect pitch is a family carrying an agonizing level of love and relentless worry, fighting to keep their child safe in an infrastructure that was not designed for them.
It demands that we look at the holistic reality of the autistic experience. It requires practical tools, genuine understanding, and robust support systems.
Absolutely.
So what does this all mean? Our goal today was to challenge the standard view of autism. It is not merely a clinical checklist of social deficits to be managed.
No.
It is an incredibly powerful, distinct way of experiencing the world. It is an operating system defined by unmatched visual processing, breathtaking long-term memory, radical problem-solving, and a profound literal integrity.
This raises an important question about where society is heading next. For decades, our entire system has been obsessed with generalists.
Generalists, right.
We've trained neurodivergent individuals to mask their specialized traits so they can blend into a neurotypical generalist society. But as we rapidly move into an era dominated by artificial intelligence, the generalist human logic that we've prized for so long is exactly what AI is automating.
The standard cognitive software is becoming commoditized.
Precisely. As AI takes over standard linear processing, the future economy might not need more well-rounded generalists.
Right.
The most valuable minds of the next century might be the hyper-specialized outliers, the ones who can process visual anomalies 40% faster, the ones who jump straight to the unconventional solutions, and the ones who see the patterns the rest of us filter out.
Wow.
We might be approaching a paradigm where neurotypical thinking faces obsolescence and the autistic operating system becomes the most critical asset we have.
That is something to truly think about. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.